I like that little line she sang that I was just about ready to say I'm through. But God led me to a place that showed me I could make it another day. Amen. Why don't you take your Bibles tonight and turn with me to Mark chapter number 11. Am I a little bit too loud or ringing? I'm okay. All right, good. I'm rarely okay, but I guess maybe I am. All right, Mark chapter number 11. Then I want you to catch Matthew chapter number 6. I'm going to give you something that I've given you before, and Lord laid this on my heart first of the week, and kind of started looking for it and dug it out, and the Lord gave me a couple of new thoughts, and thought maybe this might just be timely tonight and be a help to somebody. Brother Greg asked me before they went out, he said, are we going to be short or are we going to be long? I said, we're going to be till we're done, amen? But I do have a feeling with the way I feel we'll be rather short tonight. But, you know, sometimes you don't have to say a whole lot to get some help. Amen. I've listened to entire sermons and one statement changed my life. Amen. Can I get a witness right there? Just one little thought. Maybe the preacher didn't even know that it wasn't even what he came to say, but just something he said just really, really gave my heart what I stood in need of. In Mark chapter number 11, are you there or are you in Matthew? We're in Mark. Okay, Mark chapter number 11. Then we're going to go to the book of Matthew in chapter number 6. But Mark chapter number 11 and verse number 20. The Bible said in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou curedest is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, let's back up. Jesus answering saith unto them, say that next statement with me, have faith in God. That's a mouthful right there. That's more than you and I can even grasp. Amen. We had faith to get us in the family of God, but sometimes I'm afraid our faith wavers so that we struggle within the family. Does that make sense? He just said simply, have faith in God. That's what he said to his disciples in John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. You know what he's saying? Have faith in God. Amen. Just trust the Lord. That'll work every time. He said in verse 23, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Does that verse blow your mind? It always has mine, ever since I was a little boy. Have you ever tried it? Come on. Anybody besides me? I remember we took a group of kids one year up to Stone Mountain and we went to see the laser show and wasn't nobody looking. And I said, get out of here. As far as I know, it's still there. But I take the Bible literally. I hope you do. I take it at face value. But that's just always, can you imagine having that kind of faith? Having that kind of belief in God? Amen? Let's go on. What verse was I in? 23. Look at 24. He said, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall what? Have them. How many of you have a need tonight? How many of you have a real, legitimate need? Do you know there's a difference between a need and a want? Did you know there's a big difference between a need and a want? Huge. Go to Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew chapter number 6. And let's look together at verse number 19. Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 19. If we could get this verse right here and really get it ingrained in our heart, and not just learn to quote it, but learn to live by it, it would change our lives. He said, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. Now watch this statement. For where your, say it, treasure is, there will be your what? Heart also. I can guarantee you tonight we could examine each other's lives, everybody in this building, and find that that verse is true. For where your treasure is, there
will your heart be also. For where your treasure, what is your treasure? That's what means more to you than anything else. Amen. That your treasure is what means more to you than anything else. I know men who treasure their jobs. Some of them are regretting it now. I know people who treasure their cars. I love cars. I love hot rods. But have you ever noticed some of these car shows, how they treat those cars? I guarantee you they treat those cars better than they do their children or their wife. Amen. If they spent that much time rubbing on their wife, you all right? Something's wrong when a man ain't got nothing better to do than rub on a car. I've went to those car shows and watched them all day long. That's all they do. They're going to rub a hole in it. That's their treasure. That's where the heart is. You can look, but don't touch. When you have something nobody's allowed to touch, that might be a treasure. Amen? We okay? That might be a treasure. I wonder if we could just ask ourselves personally in our heart tonight, where is my treasure? Where is my treasure? I asked myself that question today. You say, what's the answer? None of your business. But I know where my treasure is. Do you know where your treasure is? It's real spiritual to say, oh, the Lord's my treasure and heavenly things are my treasure and the Bible's my treasure. Baloney. Very few people in America could honestly say that book is my treasure. Very few people. We are living in the most spoiled nation on the face of this planet. Everywhere I turn, oh, economy, economy, economy. We have it made. You understand that? We've got it made. Our gas is what, $1.80-something a gallon now? $1.90, something like that, isn't that? How many of you ever thought you'd shout over $1.90 gas? Try going to England where it's $10 a liter. We have it made. We're spoiled rotten. Oh, preacher, we're dying. Ain't none of you dying. Ain't nobody in this room starving to death. We're spoiled rotten. Me included. How many of you be honest and say, I'm ruined? I'm spoiled rotten. If your computer crashes, you don't know how to make it through the day. Come on, talk to me. If the air condition goes out in your car, you're going to have a conniption. Am I right about it? You got central heat and central air in your home. You get a little bit cool, you just push a button. Get a little bit hot, you just push a button. Turn the faucet on the left-hand side if you had a good plumber and hot water comes out. Turn on the right when cold water comes out. Wow, isn't that cool? Yeah, maybe. Got a chair in your bathroom made out of porcelain. Come on. Beats one that's out in the backyard made out of pine, amen? We're spoiled rotten, would you agree? I'm going to make some statements tonight, and that'll be probably the bulk of the message. But there are three gods in this world. Three gods in this world that we serve as Americans: money, sex, and education. Those are the three biggest gods in America: money, sex, and education. I'll just leave that alone, let you ponder with it, but it's true. Now listen, how many of you know what it means to truly be rich? Anybody ever met a rich man? I'm talking about a real rich man. Anybody? Let's rephrase that. How many of you ever met a millionaire? Them's different ducks, ain't they? They are. They're totally different people. You know what they are? They're consumed by their money. The most generous people in America are poor people. The greediest, most stingiest people in America are rich people. Are people who think they're rich. Remember what the Lord said to that church over there in Revelation chapter number 3? He said, you think you're rich, but you're poor, you're blind, and you're naked. He said, you think you got all this, but you ain't got nothing. You don't know what rich is. Grab your pen somewhere. I'm going to give you a definition of rich. Tell you exactly what rich is. You're rich when your haves equal your wants. Can I say it again? You are rich when your haves equal your wants. You take an old man up in the mountains somewhere in Kentucky around them coal mines, and he lives in a little old shack on the side of the hill, and his bathroom's out in the backyard, and he ain't got a car, and he walks everywhere he goes, and his most prized possession is an old black and tan coon dog. But you sit and talk to that old man a few minutes, and he seems like he's the happiest man in the whole wide world. Why? Because he doesn't want anything. He's a wealthy man. Amen. I have a problem with that. I struggle with that. I won't. I've been that way all my life. When it would get this time of year, my little sister would pick out one doll, whatever the big favorite doll was that year, Betsy Wetsy or I don't know whoever, she'd pick out that one doll and that's what she wanted, Barbie in the Corvette or I don't know, she'd pick out, well, that's all she wanted. I'd get the Sears and Roebuck catalog. What'd they call that, Mama? Wish book. Trust me, I did. I'd start in that toy section and I'd start it at the first page for the boys, and I promise you I had at least three things circled on every page. Mama said, which one do you want the most? I said, everything circled. Amen. I want everything I see. I've always had that problem. But if we could find a way to get to the place where our haves equal our wants, we might find true joy. And we might find out we're richer than we really think we are. Amen. We make statements all the time. I'd rather live with her in a tent on the side of the road than without her, you know. Is that true? Is that true? Would that really be good enough for you? Why, no, what you have is not good enough for you. Most of us have more than we can afford. Can I get a witness? I have more than I can afford. We started building that house a few years ago. And it got bigger. And it got bigger. And it got bigger. And it got more elaborate. And it got more elaborate. And it got more elaborate. We refinanced here, we refinanced there, we've done this, we've done... Am I in here all by myself? Most of us have more than we can afford. But truly, we don't have more than we can afford, we owe more than we can afford. You say, bless God, I own my home. Stop making a payment, let's see if you own it. Amen. I hope we're okay tonight. You're rich when your haves equal your wants. Now, there's two ways to accomplish this. Number one is to trim your haves to equal your wants. In other words, what do you say? Get rid of something. You ever walk through your house and say, man, we got too much? How many of you would dread having to move tomorrow? Woo-hoo. Can you imagine? I don't even want to get in my attic. I'm scared to look up there. I can't walk through my garage. I'd hate to know I had to move. But that old man down there at the rescue mission, he just picks up his box and goes anywhere he wants. And judging by the way they worship down there on Friday night, they're happier than we are. Amen. Them convicts down there in the jail, judging by the way they worship, they're happier than we are. And they ain't got nothing but a number, amen? We're going to have to trim our haves to equal our wants, or we're going to have to trim our wants to equal our haves. That's probably the easiest way. I'm going to have to come down a notch or two and realize I don't really need that. I don't really need that. How many of you have ever bought something you had to have and then regretted it later? You just knew if I don't, it's driving me crazy. It consumes you. You lay awake at night and you think, oh, what can I do? How can I make this work? Oh, and if we do this and we do that and we cut back here and we cut back there. And then you get that book in the mail and you go, what in God's name was I thinking? Yeah. Amen.
Let me give you several thoughts and we'll go to the house. Number one, there are three things in this world. Three things, that's all. There's what I have. There's what I don't have, but I can have. And there's what I can't have. Three things in this world. There's what I have. There's what I can have, or don't have, but I can have. There's some things you don't have, but it's okay for you to have. You understand that? Then there's those things you just can't have. Are you listening? Turn your little heads, look right over there. You can't have her. Amen. Something's wrong, you start coveting another man's wife, you can't have her. She's not yours. Amen. There's some things, sir, you just cannot have. Ma'am, there's some things that you just cannot have. And you get that thing burning in your heart and think you just have to have it, and it burns you every single time. There's things you just can't have. There's things that you could have if you had it, you couldn't handle it. Amen. I'll never forget my stepsister, Missy. She runs the body shop at Hardy Chevrolet, or she used to. I don't know. She still does. And went by there to see her for something. And there was the year they came out, Brother Freddie, with that, maybe one of you guys will remember that Ram Air Trans Am. Y'all remember that? I'm talking about a fast, fast, fast car. It was brand spanking new, still had the sticker on the window, and it was sitting in the body shop, and the motor was sitting in the front seat. I said, man, what happened? Missy said, a man walked in here last week, paid cash money, $30,000+, and gave that to his 16-year-old boy. What an idiot. What an idiot. Oh, he had the money, he could have it, but he couldn't handle it. He had the money, he could obtain it, but he couldn't handle what he could obtain. Is that making any sense? Three things in this world, that's all there is. There's what I have, what I don't have that I can have, and what I can have. Ain't nothing else. Either I have it or I don't. Either I want it or I don't. Do you ever look at some things that people spend a lot of money on and go, they're idiots? Those people are stupid. They would probably look at some of the things you would buy if you had it and go, they're crazy. You remember several years ago the fella in Alabama who won the lottery? I'm talking about like $15 million. I mean wads and wads and wads of money. And they interviewed him on the radio. He lived in Georgia. And they interviewed him on the radio and they said, sir, what are you going to do with all these millions? He said, we're going to buy a double wide and move to Alabama. Y'all remember that? And everybody laughed and made fun. If a double wide and a couple acres in Alabama makes him happy, leave him alone. We judge everybody so quickly by what they have or what they don't have. I know some people who have literally nothing who have more character than some people who could buy out large companies. Amen? Number one, there are three things in this world. What I have, what I don't have that I can have, and what I can't have. Now you just need to mark her down. There's some things you just can't have. That's not for me. I can't have that. Get it out of your head. Amen? Don't drive yourself crazy with something you cannot have. Number two, there are three attitudes. To want what I have equals happiness. To want what I have equals happiness. Can you imagine going home tonight and looking around you and being perfectly content in your heart with everything you have? Where you live, what you drive, your furniture and home, everything. I don't want nothing else. I'm happy with it. Can you lay down in your bed tonight, sir, and put your arm around your wife and say, I'm content? Ladies, I could understand maybe why some of you would not be, but that's a happy thing.
That's a wonderful thing to me. To be able to lay down at night and go, thank God for her. I don't want another. She's enough for me. Amen. To have or to want what I have, that equals happiness. To want what I can have, that equals acceptability. That's acceptable. There's some things. I'm not saying don't have goals in your life. There's things that you can work toward and things you can have. We've been praying for several years that Brother Freddie be able to get some land and build a house or whatever and get the boys out in the country. I think he can have that. I don't think that's ridiculous. Are y'all okay? I mean, that's an acceptable thing. We wouldn't be saying, brother, that's just extravagant. To raise your family in a safe place, that's not extravagant. That's acceptable. Now, if Brother Freddie was driving down here to the Georgian, that $500,000 house section down there, and said, oh, we're going to buy one of those. And I think we can do it on what the church pays me. That wouldn't be acceptable. For him or me, amen? Well, y'all all right?
Yes, sir.
To want what I can't have equals unhappiness. And that's where most people in America are. They want simply what they can't have. They want what they can't have. For years, I literally, it was past a want or a desire. It was covetousness. I wanted a Harley Davidson. I mean, boy, I wanted a Harley Davidson. I'd hear one coming 15 miles away. You hear that? I could tell you what it was, whether it was a Sportster or a Fat Boy. I just knew what it was. It's a Harley, man. I hear it coming. That's playing my tune. Year before last, I wrecked one in Pennsylvania. Didn't hurt the bike. Didn't hurt me. Not a scratch. I never hit the ground. I jumped up off of it and ran along the side of it. That motorcycle laying there on the ground, I'm standing there beside it, my heart beating out of my chest. I thought I was going to have a heart attack and die. And the Holy Ghost said, is that really what you want? No helmet. It's not illegal up there. It is with my mother, I guarantee you that. And plain as day, the Holy Spirit said, is that really what you want? The only thing between you and being splattered on this asphalt right now is my grace. I still like them. But I don't want one. Oh, you give it to me. I got a place in my garage and I'll shine it and look at it. Amen. We all right? To want things I can't have equals unhappiness. To want what I can't have equals unhappiness. If you're here tonight and you're unhappy, it's because you want what you can't have. If you wanted what you had, you'd be happy. But you want what you can't have, so you're unhappy. I hope you're quiet because you're thinking. If you're unhappy, it's because you're wanting what you can't have. Now listen, there are three goals. I'm almost done. Three goals you ought to set in your life. Number one, do not allow the object to create your desire. Do not allow the object to create your desire. You say, that don't make sense. Well, when I give you this next statement, it will. Allow God to create your desires. Don't allow the object to create your desire. Allow God to create your desire. I don't know about you, but I got an eye for things that shine. Chrome's my favorite color. Chrome and bass boat glitter. I mean, that's just... Don't allow the object to create your desire. I took Brother Fisher fishing. I don't know if y'all know it, but I caught a 12-pound bass. It's been a few weeks. He's had time to grow. Brother Warren gave me a boat. Ugliest boat you ever saw. It's a 16-foot aluminum John boat. Brother Jason's been fishing in it. Brother Greg Godfrey out in junior church or teen church tonight, he gave me a little trolling motor to go on the front of it. The seats were all dry rotted and cracked, and I went and bought a padded seat for the front of it. And I take that thing over to Brother Anthony Waters, and I go over there and fish. And me and Brother Fisher was fishing. He said, "This is a nice rig." Ain't been in many boats, have you, brother? If you stand up, be careful, you're going over the side. He said, "You really like those big bass boats, don't you?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "You couldn't do this." I said, "You're right." So I need a bass boat for a big lake, and this one's Amen. Allow the Lord to create your desires. Number three. Here's your three goals. Do not allow the object to create your desire. Allow God to create your desires or to decide your desires. Number three, make my wants equal my haves. Have you ever really tried and worked on being happy with what you've got? You may not be like me, but I got a feeling you probably are. I'm a dreamer. I see the brand new model. Oh, got to have one of them. Can't afford the one I got. We all right? You know that new Camaro's coming out this coming up year. Hugger orange with black stripes. 400 horse, 350 in it. I need that like I need a hole in my head. But if they'd approved my credit, I'd probably buy it. How many of you are like that? Well, I am. Jeremy said, "I'm like that." There's something we got to work on. There's something. Let me rephrase it. There's something I got to work on. I want my haves to equal my wants. I want to want what I have. Amen? I understand cars wear out and you have to trade up and you get, I understand. Y'all know what I mean. I went through a period where I had to have a new vehicle every time you turn around. I seen a brand new Avalanche today. And I thought, you know what, this Toyota is just fine. Amen. I'm going to see if I can't put 200,000 or 300,000 miles on it. See if I can catch up with Brother Earl. Amen. In his Geo. Let me give you three scriptures to go with this thought tonight, and I'm done. Psalms chapter 37 and verse number 4. Psalms 37 and verse number 4. Jot these down somewhere. Psalms 37 and verse number 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. That's interesting, isn't it? Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Why? Does that kind of sound like that seek ye first the kingdom of God? Does, doesn't it? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. What we got to do is we got to put God before everything else, and if we just make him our chiefest desire, he'll take care of all the other things. God will say, "I'm glad I'm number one in your life. Hey, how would you like to have this? I'm glad there's nothing before me. I'm glad I am your treasure." Now here's a little bonus. Here's that toy you always wanted. Here's that car you always wanted. Amen. We okay? Delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 19. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 19. The Bible says, "But my God shall supply all your," anybody know the next word? Need. "According to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." You know what he said? He'll take care of what you need. He'll take care of what you need. Mark chapter 11, our text, verse number 24. "Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever, or what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them." I
I've said it a million times, I'll say it again. I tell you how to get anything you want. Anything you want. All you got to do is want what God wants. Anything your heart desires, as long as it's what God desires. Amen. Let's stand to our feet today.